Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Gansara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Text number 3.
Tamupashrujanenadam.
Jagatayabayabaham. Pradyujayu Prajasarva Bhartri Darshana Lalasaha Tamupashrutta Ninadam Jagadbhayabhayabaham Pratyujayu Prajasarva Bhartri Darshana Lalasaha Samupashrutta Ninadam Jagadbhayabhayabaham Pratyujayu Prajasarva Bhartri Darshana Lalasaha.
Word for word, please repeat.
Tam.
That.
Yes. Upashrutya. Having overheard. Ninadam.
Sound.
Jagatbhaya. The fear of material existence. Vaya abaham. The threatening principle. Prati. Towards. Udyayuhu.
Rapidly proceeded.
Prajaha. The citizens. Sarvaha. All. Bhartri. The protector. Darshana. Audience. Lalasaha. Having so desired. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The citizens of Dwarka, having heard the sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run towards Him fast, just to have a long desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. Purport. As already explained, the citizens of Dwarka who lived at the time of Lord Krishna's presence, they were all liberated souls who descended there along with the Lord as entourage. All were very anxious to have an audience with the Lord, although because of spiritual contact they were never separated from the Lord. Just as the gopis of Vrindavan used to think of Krishna while he was away from the village for cowherding engagements, the citizens of Dwarka were all immersed in thought of the Lord while he was away from Dwarka to attend the battle of Kurukshetra. Some distinguished fiction writer in Bengal concluded that the Krishna of Vrindavan, that of Mathura and that of Dwarka were different personalities. Historically, there is no truth in this conclusion. The Krishna of Kurukshetra and the Krishna of Dwarka are one and the same personality. The citizens of Dwarka were thus in a state of melancholy due to the Lord's absence from the transcendental city, as much as we are put in a state of melancholy at night because of the absence of the sun. The sound heralded by Lord Krishna was something like the heralding of the sunrise in the morning. So all the citizens of Dwarka awoke from a state of slumber because of the sunrise of Krishna. And they all hastened towards him just to have an audience. The devotees of the Lord know no one else as protector. This sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord, as we have tried to explain by the non-dual position of the Lord. The material existence of our present status is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the food problem, the shelter problem, the fear problem, and the mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya, or external energy. Yet all fear is vanquished as soon as there is sound of the Lord, represented by His holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ganatamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chachur Militam Jana Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Mukham Kurashivatalam Pangun Lagate Gurim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurundinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this morning I thought that I would speak on a couple of points from this purport, and then I would pass the microphone around to the devotees and ask if they'd like to share any realizations or stories about their reciprocation from Krishna or Prabhupada, and over the couple of days of festivities, it's always very inspiring hearing realizations and sharing stories. It helps to develop a strong faith. You know, so this first point from the purport that I'm going to speak on, Prabhupada says, the sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord. It is the holy name of the Lord is described as Nama Chintamani Krishnas. That the holy name, it is like a transcendental touchstone in that it fulfills all spiritual desires. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. What does Chaitanya mean? Consciousness, yeah. Means life force, yeah, consciousness. So it is the life of all transcendental mellows, rasas. Purna, it is complete. Shuddha, it is pure. Nitya Mukta, it is eternally liberated. And Binatvam Naminamino, that the holy name, the possessor of the name, is non different from the name. You know, so Sri Nam Prabhu is a person. You know, is when we chant the holy name, we are inviting Sri Nam Prabhu to come and dance on our tongue. You know, say we invite a very important person round to our house, and the person comes round. I don't know, say an important person like the Queen of England, or what's the Prime Minister of Australia called? Sorry. Julian Gillard. Julian get that? Okay. Julia. So, Julia Gillard. Okay, so you invite Julia Gillard round to your house, and she's there standing at the front door, and she's knocking on the door, and you're expecting her to come round, but you're busy. There's so many other things that you're doing. You know, you're cleaning the house, you're cooking. You know, you sit down and read the newspaper. You know, Julian Gillard, she's there knocking on the front door. You know, and it's like, anyway, she says she can stand out there for a little while longer. And it's a simile. Sometimes when we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you know, we're inviting Krishna to come and dance on our tongue, but yet we're thinking, oh, I've got to fill up the car with petrol today. You know, I've got to do my laundry. You know, there's... I've got to do the banking. You know, there's so many other things that we're thinking of. No, so it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this inattentiveness when chanting the holy name as pramada. You know what pramad means? Pramad? It means madness. You know, it is complete madness that we're inviting the most important personality in the entire creation, Krishna, to come and dance on our tongue. Yeah, and yet we are thinking of so many other things. We are not giving him any attention. And so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this as pramada. It is complete madness. And it is actually, if one can overcome this one offense of inattentive chanting, all the other offenses are automatically dissolved. You know, they automatically go away. Just so that one can overcome this one offense. So how to overcome this madness, the madness of the inattentive mind? There's a few different remedies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that one go to a secluded place and put a chadar over his head, you know, and just really cry out the holy name when he's chanting. You know, but unfortunately most of us, including myself, will probably go to sleep if we put a chadar over our heads. And that's another way to overcome is sincere prayer. You know, we have to humbly beg, sincerely beg the Lord, you know, allow my mind to rest in your holy name. Allow me to please develop some attraction for chanting your holy name. Another remedy is shouting louder than the mind. For this one, one might need to go outside of the temple room. Prabhupada once gave Jayapataka Maharaj the instruction to go and chant in the field and shout as loud as he could the Hare Krishna mantra to override the prajalpa of the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he recommends that one beat the mind 100 times in the morning with a shoe, and then 100 times at night with a stick. You know, so this beating the mind, it is beating it with the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, the greatest yogi is one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. You know, so the more we can chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the more eventually, gradually, the mind becomes more subdued. And we're in the process of sadhana, bhakti, you know, it means the stage of practice. So we practice bringing the mind, when we notice the mind is wandering, we bring it back. You know, and actually this is namabhas. When we actually endeavor to bring the mind back to here, the holy name, this is namabhas, this is on the clearing stage. It is when the mind wanders, you know, and we don't make any effort to bring it back. You know, when we notice we're thinking about other things apart from hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, and we don't endeavor to bring the mind back to here, then this is namaparad. This is offensive chanting. You know, so this, and then we can actually understand when the mind becomes under control and to hear the each syllable of the Hare Krishna mantra, then gradually nama rupa guna lila, Krishna reveals to us the name, form, qualities, and eventually his pastimes. You know, we'll be chanting Hare Krishna and we'll be engaged in Krishna's pastimes with him eventually. So this other point I want to speak on is fear. This material world is called Kunta, the world of anxiety, the material existence means anxiety, and this all comes due to the bodily concept of life. One who wants to enjoy life, you know, their greatest fear, or one of their greatest fears, is going to the doctor, and the doctor says, "You have diabetes. No more sugar. No more sweets." You know, one who is well off, one who has lots of money, you know, one of their greatest fears is not having any offspring, not having a son to pass down on the wealth to. You know, another fear they have is that they're going to lose everything. You know, Lakshmi is called Chanchala. You know, she's very flickering. You know, she never stays in one place. So the conditioned soul is very fearful of losing all his wealth. And one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. One who is very strong is fearful that someone will defeat him. And for one who is very beautiful, one who is beautiful is very fearful that old age will come. Gray hairs will come, wrinkles will manifest in the face. You know, and this is why the cosmetic industry is booming. You know, under this fear of old age. You know, practically, you know, 90% of the advertisements we see, you know, are promoting people to look younger than they are. You know, dye your hair, you know, makeup on, you know, even men, you know, put so much makeup on their faces nowadays, and, you know, it's ridiculous. So this fear of old age, you know, I was driving back from the airport this morning after dropping Mark off, and I was listening to one devotee giving a lecture, I don't know his name, but he was saying that, he was telling a story, that he saw one old man who was trying to cut his toenails, and this man, you know, he was bending down, like trying to cut his toenails, and Like he just couldn't do it. He was just trying to cut the toenail on his big toe, on his right foot, you know. And he was trying and he just couldn't do it. You know, and after like half an hour of trying, he just like threw the clippers down on the floor, completely frustrated. You know, and this devotee went up to the elderly man and said, you know, what's wrong? Why are you so frustrated? You know, and he said, hey, I've been trying to cut my big toenail for the past half an hour, and you know, I've got arthritis, so I can't bend my knee. You know, and like when I look at something for so long, my vision goes and it goes all blurry. I can't see properly, you know, what I'm doing. And then when I'm trying to cut my nails, my hands are shaking so much, and you know, I can't hold the clippers properly. You know, and also, you know, when the older you get, the harder your nails are as well. So, you know, he couldn't have the strength in his hands to clip his nails, and he's completely frustrated and threw the clippers down on the floor. You know, so people are very fearful of old age, because we know we see practically so many problems come. And it is said that there is danger at every step in this world. The most fearful thing, actually the second most fearful thing that people are afraid of, is death. The first one, number one, is public speaking. There was a survey done and it said that the number one thing that people are afraid of is public speaking. That just shows how strong the false ego is, isn't it? You know, so the second most fearful thing is death. Now, for argument's sake, many people say that they are not afraid of death. You know, I've stopped many people in the street, you know, and I say, you know, talk to them about fear and things, and say, you know, you can see everyone's fearful of death, and they say, oh, I'm not fear, I don't care about death, you know, it's going to come sooner or later, and you know, I don't really care. No, but we can see, yeah, in their personal activities that they perform, how fearful they are of death. They are fearful of losing their wallet. They are fearful of losing their girlfriend or boyfriend. They are fearful of losing so many things. What to speak of life, its very self. You know? So, you know, they may, for argument's sake, they may win the battle, but they will lose the war, that is for sure. You know? Trying to bluff, saying that they are not afraid of death, when we see that practically speaking, you know, so many people, they go to commit suicide but they can't do it. You know, they say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Today is not a good day. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, or, you know, I'll give him one more chance. You know. So, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that the first qualification of a sannyasi is that he is fearless. Is a fearlessness. You know, that a sannyasi should be able to go into the dark depths of the forest and know that Krishna is always with him. Krishna is always present in the heart of the super soul. And actually this is the only cure to become fearless in material existence is to turn towards Krishna, who, as we hear in this verse, is the protector of his devotees. And in that way, we can also become fearless of whatever impediments come in life. Because we know that Krishna, he's always there for us. He never leaves us side. So there is one very nice prayer I found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I thought we can give me a second. Okay, so I thought we could read this in call and response. Okay, because it's a very sweet prayer we can offer to Radha Vallabha. Okay, so,
O my Lord,
there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires.
Although I have rendered these desires,
so much service,
they have not shown any mercy to me.
I have not been ashamed to serve them.
Nor have I even desired to give them up.
O my Lord.
O head of the Yadu dynasty.
Recently, however,
my intelligence has been awakened.
And now I am giving them up.
Due to transcendental intelligence.
I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires.
And I now come to you
to surrender myself
at your fearless lotus feet.
Kindly engage me in your personal service.
And save me.
So it's a very sweet prayer that we can offer to the Lordships. So what I'll do is I'll now open up the floor. We can pass the microphone round and ask the devotees if they can please share some realizations, what reciprocation they've had with Krishna or Srila Prabhupada over the festival days. It would be very inspiring to hear. So move on.
Because of my controlled senses. So, this time. sit somewhere and just keep chanting after service. So it was a difficult situation to choose between the most important activities of the day. So I think I was not really did any justice to both of those desires, because I did a few rounds extra, but I couldn't completely do my service also. Similarly, as I was thinking this morning about chanting, about mentioning about getting to chanting, I'm a bit confused whether I should attend my deities in the Lord Chaitanya place through the Principle of Manifested Recently. That I'm not really doing any justice in terms of really taking care of them. But I feel I always wanted to come to the temple without even attending them, that I'm worried about it could be an offense. But somehow coming to the temple is becoming more priority to me. I know that I need to clarify that those adults. So this kind of confusion, I'm not really attentive in chanting. But the realization is that I somehow or other wanted Gaudiya to come to my home. But he is merciful, he has one to serve his temple. So Lord, here your heart for this life, and he definitely fulfills appropriately when it is ready. The devotee that you were mentioning, you can see this lecture was within a Prabhu and Chaupada.
You've heard that lecture.
So it's one of the signs such as from self realization that you mentioned. Thank you so much.
Just this day was me in the morning, I wanted to go out to distribute books, and then Malik Prabhu came and gave me service to clean up the toilets and showers and so I was really frustrated. And then when I was cleaning, John Prabhu said, "Do you know that what Anirudha Prabhu announced in the morning?" I said, "No. You can't go out to do books today. You can. All you are supposed to stay in the temple and participate in the festival."
apologies for that too.
So first sharing what Krishna is most seeking to me during the weekend during the festivities. I guess what I need to say is that he was there as he always is, but bigger, because everyone was so engaged. His reciprocation was more intense because of the worries he does. Personally, it was just the small things. I don't know, I'm trying to say it specifically. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
So many qualified other Vaishnavas
who so tirelessly work for the sake of this festival. Year after year, so consistently. It occurred so beautifully, the whole temple, the altar, which looks so mysterious, especially on the 12th of night. Somebody said that even Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt don't have this kind of outfit. Which is just so attractive. And personally for me, it was a more purifying year, more purifying Janmashtami and a purifying social profile. The main realization that Krishna was trying to impress on me is that you love me by loving you, my parts and parcels, and how you associate and how you reciprocate with my parts and parcels. You can't be just with me alone. So it was a bit purifying. And also try to do some extra for Krishna. Chanting, reading, remembering more, and become a bit more selfless, because I'm so selfish. Just the last point was just a much more Krishna show, how he's like spontaneously all attractive. Because in my yoga class, I invited a few guests, so I was cultivating, who became friends with, and I didn't expect anyone to come, but they did. We were actually going to a particular party, a different sort of party than this one. And but still they came on the way. And when we were going through the queue, they stayed the whole queue. It took a long time. I stood with them. And when we came up to the altar, they just asked me, so we just hit the floor with the head. They wanted to open their base and fist, and you know, as we came up to the stairs, right in front of Radha Baba, there were two men, two boys, and two ladies. So just all together, you know, the rushness in our heads, like it was everything was happening so quickly, and we just hit the floor in front of Radha Baba. So sometimes we've never been to the temple, they just were coming to yoga class. Spontaneously attracted to everyone. So let this festival go on and on and on year after year to attract more devotees to Krishna. Strawberry on the top, and I was about to eat it, and I got a taste. when Hitler said that you're going to go home and just be kissed. And I was kind of like, oh. But I went outside and found him with you and gave him a facade and got around the back door because the queue was over down the road. And we, I don't know what to do with him because there's people like everywhere. And he was so disturbed. So we went, I took him upstairs, it was a performance song. And that was, some of the acts were kind of a bit strange. And I sat down with him on the floor, all I could think about was my headache, and wanting to have something to eat. And I kept looking over him to make sure I'm enjoying this. I really don't know where he's been here. But then somehow, the Christian's grace that later on, on the stage, and I got the Sunday school group, and they were exceptionally, they were really talented and very, very, very sweet. And yeah, you could see that his mind started to get going down with it, and he was enjoying it, and I was enjoying it. And my headache started to soothe, and actually before I knew it, it was time to take darshan. And it was like, yeah, this is what Christian wants, is just to give a little bit more, and not to be thinking so much about myself all the time. I'm sorry to take too much time, but yeah.
Hare Krishna, I was very struck by, every year I'm really struck by on Janmashtami, how many people come to see Krishna, and people that we don't really see all the time, and so many people coming to see. I'm always really struck by that. Krishna really is amazing, he's really all attractive. And then I think on Janmashtami, Krishna always helps me to see my own pride, because I sit there and I see everyone just walking past, and I think, well, why don't they come the rest of the year? Why don't, like, so many people that could come the rest of the year, why don't they come? But then I think Krishna helps me to realize that it doesn't really matter for this space they come just for that one day. Still they're coming to see him, and still he's reciprocating with them also. So who am I to say? So it's very nice to be in a position to have that realization prompted by the festival. And then the second thing that is always really wonderful about these festival days is that on Janmashtami and also on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, there's a real feeling of devotees standing together and looking after each other and interacting with each other and really serving and taking shelter of each other in such circumstances, like in Janmashtami, because the environment is so different, we often take a lot of shelter of each other. And it's really nice to see the devotees, like extra nice to see the devotee that you know in the crowd, and to have a chat about the services, how your chanting is going. So it's extra nice. And then on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, that's like tripled, because from hearing all the devotees' offerings are so sweet, and chanting with the devotees and remembering Srila Prabhupada, it's just accentuated even more. So after the two festivals, like, I don't know, I always feel like closer to Krishna and closer to all of these devotees. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much for sharing those realizations and stories. I was also thinking that, you know, after Mangalarati on Janmashtami, you know, the temple room was packed out with devotees, you know, why can't it be like this every morning? Yeah, but then I was thinking that in the spiritual world, every day is a festival. You get to chant and dance with anyway, my realization, it's been an ongoing realization over the past few years on Janmashtami that the pleasure and absorption, that the more absorbed I become in hearing and chanting, and the pleasure that comes from that, it completely overrides any of the pangs that the material body suffers during the austerities. You know, like the fasting or the lack of sleep or anything, just completely overrides. You know, just full absorption. It's very very amazing experience. Yeah, this anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Bye.